Before we look at the text tonight, I want you to look behind me on the screen and see if you can instantly recognize what this is. I think you can. Many years ago, Gwyneth and Ben were about 7 years of age. Wesley was probably 9 or 10, I suppose. It was a Christmas Eve, and those of you who were here that Christmas Eve, not a lot of folks. I remember all these guys, and I think all the Hatchers were. I passed out to the little ones there and some other folks a bunch of these. They are called Legos. And I did so as a little Christmas lesson illustration about the Christian life. And I have waited a long, long time to come back to this in light of their graduation, sort of in honor of it. I want to finally expound on this lesson, not just for them, but for all of us. And to do so by considering a very powerful text in the book of Ephesians for God's people, for the family of God, for the local New Testament church. Anybody here who's been parenting since, I'd say, 1975, little small children, and the children who are here since about that time, surely knows what a Lego is. When I was little, the hottest little construction toys were Lincoln Logs. And then later, they had these things, these metal erector sets. Now, Lincoln Logs, by the way, were invented by John Wright. He was the son of Frank Lloyd Wright. And the erector sets, I had one shipped to us in Turkey. They were invented by some psychotic engineer because they didn't work very well with little nuts and bolts and whatnot. But Legos, as you know, are little plastic building blocks, little pieces, popular, very popular, and they have increased in popularity over the years. The word Lego comes from a Danish phrase. The phrase is Legegot, which means, you like that Danish accent there? I know I impressed all the Danes in here. No, I really didn't, did I? Anyway, it means, quote, to play well. The word Lego in Latin means I put together. And of course, the popularity and the versatility of these little things is undeniable. In our family, Rick was always the big Lego maker, and then it came Andy and then Ben. And of course, since the days when these young people were young and have now grown and are graduating, played with their Legos as little ones, they've even more exploded in popularity. There are two parks that are called Lego. I think it's called Legoland. Legoland in California, in Carlsbad. Legoland in the old Cypress Gardens near Orlando. And they're little toys, but they provide, I think, a perfect object lesson of some very critical and needful truths in the kingdom of God. And I think needful right now at this time for Beacon Baptist Church, in light of sort of the atmosphere we have of these young ones growing up in these pews and then going off. Four truths tonight. The first one I want you to notice, number one, is that each and every Lego has a purpose. Look again at our text, chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, I want you to notice that it says, quote, you might want to underline this little phrase, "to every one of us, God has given grace." Now, granted, the measure of that grace, meaning the specifics of that gift, obviously may differ. For example, look down at verse 11. He gave, this is the grace, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto or until the edifying of itself in love. In other words, look, this is vital. When it comes to the kingdom of God and specifically to the local New Testament church and to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is God's design and it is God's will that some Christians have a specific role. They're called to evangelist or pastor or a teacher. And that most Christians have a role that fits anywhere, but that all Christians have a role that fits somewhere. I have up here, for example, one of the pieces of a Lego project, and this one happens to be a tire, a little tire that I picked up. And as a tire, obviously, it has a very specific role. It fits on the front of this project. On the other hand, I also have a familiar Lego block, just like you see behind me. And this piece would fit, and it would be useful just about anywhere, even, by the way, if it happens to be unseen. But you know, the important thing to remember is that this piece that's on the front, that's seen, that appears to be vital to the project, is no more important in God's eyes than this piece. You know, one of the silliest, and I have observed over the years, one of the more damaging things that happens, as far as Christians are concerned, is the unscriptural attitude that it's better, that it's more spiritual to be this than to be this. That somehow you are better or I'm better because I have been called to a certain area or happen to fit in a certain area. It's better to be a, quote, full-time Christian. By that, they mean a Christian with a title, with an office. It's better, therefore, to be that than simply to be one and who's just a church member who happens to be serving God. Folks, that is wrong. The truth of the matter is every single one of you here tonight are full-time Christians. There are no part-time Christians. God has shaped, God has colored, God has designed every one of us for His purpose, not for our purpose. And yes, he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good thing, the Bible says, but not necessarily a better thing. That's why I'm not a big fan of the term layman. I never have been. You know, there's the laity and there's the clergy. And the clergy, you know, we're up here and you're down there. That's not Bible talk. You don't really find that in the Word of God. That's more like religious talk. In the Bible, all Christians are called, all of us are called saints. And you don't get any higher than that. In fact, you may have noticed how many times God uses the word every and the word all. Look at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every, all, every. Look, that little Lego up there behind me, you realize that it can fit just about anywhere. If you're familiar with these things. That one block and those blocks can fit just about anywhere in a project. It doesn't have to be on top. It doesn't have to be in the front. It doesn't have to be highest. It doesn't have to be the most visible. It could be underneath, on the bottom, inside, unseen. And folks, that's okay. It's more than okay. Because the important thing for us to remember is that wherever it is, it has a purpose. No matter where the part goes in God's plan and God's wisdom, as He chooses, it has a purpose. And you have a purpose. It brings us then to the second lesson, number 2. A lone Lego hurts itself and the project. Look at verse 13. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You young people need to know this. They are lying in wait out there to deceive you, to the winds of doctrine, to pull you, push you away from the body of Christ, from the fellowship of God's people. Look, in verses 4 and 5 of this great chapter, Paul says, as we read, that there's one body, that there is one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God, and one Father over all. So, if someone therefore is tossed and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and they're way over here somewhere off by themselves, if maybe they get off on some strange tangent, pulled away, as I've been teaching the teenagers in Sunday school the last few weeks about Eastern religions that have invaded this country, and karma, and all of this Buddhism and Hinduism that's so popular, and Christians are putting crystals on their windshields. And I've seen Facebook once in a while, when I go on Andy's Facebook, they'll say something about good karma, bad karma, and all this, it's winds of doctrine pulling them away from the truth. If they're off on that, supposedly, some area or doctrine that only they see, and consequently, they're of no use any longer to the local church. The local church is of no use to them. And then even worse, you will find that they end up hurting themselves and the local church. You know, one of the things every parent here knows about these little Legos is that at 3 in the morning, walking in a dark room, one little tiny Lego stepped on a bare foot causes a lot of pain. I've stepped on Legos at 1, 2 in the morning, got stuck in the soft arch of my foot. And I did not have happy thoughts of the boys in those moments. But it's that lone one that's off by itself. It is that one that is away from the rest that causes the most pain. 1 Corinthians 2:25 says, there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. I don't really need the church. The eye cannot say to the hand that I have no need of thee, and the hand to the eye. Every Christian needs and is commanded to be a part of his and her local church, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is that coal on a bank of coals that falls away, that grows cold and dead. Now that local assembly may or not meet in a building, wherever you young people may go off to, or it may meet in a little one-room tinderbox, such as Brother Zam does in Myanmar. Or it may meet in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. That's not important. The important thing as an individual believer, that you are a part. That you are a part of a local assembly of God's people. Graduates, there is nothing that you can do or will do that's more dangerous than going off to college somewhere or moving away and not finding a good godly church. Do not make that mistake. You will be the coal that falls away from the fire and grows cold and dead. It brings us then quickly to the third lesson of the text. We said, number one, every Lego has a purpose. Number two, every Lego that's alone hurts itself and others. Number three, only genuine Legos fit together. Did you know that's what this text teaches? Well, not Legos. Look at verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. By the way, you'll notice that Paul talks about unity. And a lot of folks today are talking about unity. In the political world, you hear it all the time. We need unity. We need them to work together up in Washington. Well, you know, I got news for you. There are some things that I don't want our representative to work together about. I don't want them to agree with some things. That's not unity. Unanimity is what that is. Now, Paul's talking about unity, and we hear this unity being preached in churches all the time today. And some of you young people may be being seduced by that, with the idea that, you know, we just all need to come together. But when Paul talks about unity, follow this. He talks about it in the context of one Lord, not two or five, one faith, one Holy Spirit, one God. People say, unity, you know, we're just all together in the same one Spirit, but we're all, you know, it doesn't matter. We all come together. You know, that couldn't possibly be more wrong. Romans 8:9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Try the spirits to see if they be of God. They're not all of God, not all the spirits. These coexist bumper stickers that have all the symbols. I've got news for you, folks. Those symbols, they don't all believe in the same Lord, in the same faith, in the same God, in the same Word of God. Not all believe in the same Spirit, in the same body that Paul's preaching about. Let me remind you something about every child of God who is a genuine, true, born-again child of God. You know, you can meet somebody in a McDonald's and somewhere, I've done this dozens and dozens of times, and if they're truly saved, within a few minutes, we'll know it. We'll know it. But you must have that one common denominator first. On this Lego back here, you may notice that there's a circle, the famous Lego circle. It's really the connector. 99% of all Lego parts have these. You may notice, I'm not sure if you can tell, but on that circle, on all circles, those little things, is the Lego logo. The image is stamped on every single piece, just like the image of Christ is stamped on every single believer in Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2 and follow this very carefully. Ephesians 2, now look at verse 18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, through Him. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, folks, God takes no substitutes. You must be a child of the living God. You must have put your faith in Jesus Christ to be a part of the building that is fitly joined together. One of the great tragedies of our churches these days, too many churches in America, is that you've got a few Legos here and Mega Blocks here and Duplos here and those connectors over here. So there's no real strength. There's no unity in doctrine, in faith, and practice. And that's the real reason why, with all these huge ministries, there's no real revival in this country. They're just really spiritualized social clubs. Oh, our place, our church is huge. Really, it's just a bowling alley with praise songs. When you have that many people who do not know Christ, who do not understand one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, that was never God's plan for His work, the local New Testament churches. God gave us His Word, and in His Word are His instructions for His work. You know, every box of Legos comes with a little book of instructions. It's a little guide on how to do the project. And sometimes they have 10, 15, 20, even 40 different creations. And with Legos projects, sometimes they're fairly disastrous. I know when I tried to put them together with the boys, they weren't very good. They did a much better job. Sometimes when you start to put it together and you find out that it didn't go well, it ends up better than what you had planned to do. And that's true in a sense that no two local churches are exactly alike. I'm totally fine with that. We serve a God of variety. And when you young people go off, if you're going off to college and look for a local church, you don't have to find one where the piano and the organ are on the same side. That's not a fundamental of the faith, although some people may think it is in this room. If we moved it, I guarantee you someone would say, oh no, that can't be right. But that's not a fundamental of the faith. And no two churches are exactly alike in that regard. And frankly, it really doesn't matter. But one thing that this book does not allow for are counterfeit pieces. I attended a church our family did on vacation one day, and the man behind the pulpit was, it took me 10 minutes to realize it, as he saw, he wasn't even a believer. It's not a local church. It's not, let's put it this way, it is not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only genuine Legos fit the bill. Which brings us then to the last, fourth lesson in the text. Every Lego has a purpose. A lone Lego hurts itself and others. Only genuine Legos truly fit together. And that's why churches that are true to the doctrine, true to the Word of God, as small as they may be or as large as they may be, they have an impact. Finally, you'll notice, number four, there is always room for one more Lego. Look at verse 16, would you? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Increase? Yes. Those of you who have ever built anything with Legos knows that there's always room, right? You can always add one more. Ladies and gentlemen, until the trumpet sounds, God is not willing that any should perish. So that's really part of the entire purpose of God's work and God's plan for your being here tonight. It is bringing many sons to glory. In fact, you want to see a marvelous scripture. Look again at chapter 2. We're going to close in a moment, verse 12. At that time, you were without Christ. Who was without Christ? Well, folks, you were. I was. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were, or at one time were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We weren't always a part of this building, if you will. We didn't always fit. We had to be created to be one. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, look, the Lord Jesus did this work in us. Folks, He changed us. He made us a part of the household of God so that, you know what? No individual Lego has any room for self-glory whatsoever. Matter of fact, look at one more scripture, chapter 1, verse 3, one more text. Here's the one who gets the glory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Did you notice that chapter 1, verse 3 is praising the Father? Chapter 1, now verse 12, is praising the Son. Now look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How silly it would be and foolish for one little Lego piece to try to seek glory and limelight for itself. Look at me. Look at me. You know, a lot of Lego sets come with a little man. This one did. Little guy with a helmet. Do you know what all Lego men have in common? They are all exactly 1.5625 inches tall. All the same stature. Not much glorying in itself, not meant to either. This is Jesus' church. Nobody in this room understands, appreciates, and believes any stronger with conviction than I do that this church is not Jim Blaylock's. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no big shots here. We are here to serve the Lord. He is the head. He is the chief cornerstone, as we read earlier. How many Legos in a project are yellow? How many are red? How many are blue? And how many times the yellows would say, oh, we're better. We're more spiritual than the reds or the blues. And I think the reds should be envious of the yellows and feel inferior. How about those clear ones? There are not many of those in Lego blocks. What are they, weird? Look at those clear ones. I bet they think they're special. And how many little men? You know, that's not fair. I have to be a block, and you get to be a little man, and everybody gets to see you. How come I'm not a little man? Do you see how ridiculous that kind of mindset is? In God's work, it's not about us. It is all about Him and what glorifies Him. We read a moment ago, verse 15, talked about love, grow, verse 16, edify, verse 17, obey. Loving, edifying, growing, obeying. That's L-E-G-O, Lego. See, I got Bible codes all over the place. It's a simple illustration tonight to remind us that, folks, we have the greatest calling. Now, look, if you want to be a part of the Moose Lodge or the Water Buffaloes like Fred Flintstone, you want to be a part of some organization out there that's going to rise and die with the rising and the setting of the sun, you may do that. But this is the church of Jesus Christ. And God has called you as a child of God to be faithful to His church. God has called you to be a part, not of glorifying yourself, but but of advancing the kingdom of Christ and of glorifying Him and helping to bring many sons to glory. For we serve the only true God and Creator of the universe. And folks, all that we have and all that we are and all that we ever shall be, as we read over and over again, is to the praise of His glory. Maybe this summer, this little Lego will be a reminder that He is the master builder. And we are members one of another. And we should have the same care one for another. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Your word, for the privilege of being part of Your work, Your kingdom in this world today. And we know that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together and so much more as we see the day approaching. Help us to be faithful to Your church. Help us to recognize, Father, that we have all have different gifts and abilities and callings. But if it's according to Your purpose and Your will, then we should all rejoice that we can glorify You and bring many sons to glory. Bless the fellowship of Your people, Lord, the food. I pray that You'll bless it to their bodies. May our bodies glorify You. We'll give You the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.